We're talking about supernatural presence, supernatural power, supernatural energies, and in the mix of this ragged edge of a world. Could I talk about the ragged edge of this world for a while? I don't know about you, but I was there the day my grandmother died, standing in the hospital and standing next to her. She was in the bed, and they've already used those paddles to put on her chest to bring her back three times. She was 80 years old. She was from Dalmatia, Croatia, Yugoslavia. My grandmother, Dizdar, was one of the most loving individuals and giving individuals I've ever met in my life. We always loved going to Grandma's house. We always, even as a teenager and as I grew and was married, I constantly went over to see my grandmother. She always wanted to see us. So it was always a pleasure to see her too. One day I was so burdened concerning her, I decided in prayer that I would go and talk to her about God, about Christ. We sat there talking about Yugoslavia and about how she was raised and all the background she had. I talked to my grandmother and I said, "Grandma, do you in your heart know God?" My grandma couldn't answer yes, and I asked her if I could share the gospel with her, and she shook her head yes, and I think she didn't actually know, other than maybe it was something religious. She knew I was a preacher. I think she was proud of that fact. But that day I sat there with my grandmother, and I shared about Jesus dying on a cross, and that God loves her. And that she could know that she could know that she could know that she has the gift of eternal life and the love of God. She could know where she's going to go. I described the gospel and what Jesus did and how to believe on him and receive him as Lord and Savior. I looked at my grandma at one moment and I looked and I said, "Grandma, do you want to pray right now with me and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior, give you the gift of eternal life?" She pushed her glasses down and looked at me. There was a pause. And she said yes. And I said, "Grandma, pray out loud with me if this is what you from your heart want to do right now." She prayed out loud with me, "Lord Jesus Christ, I believe on you. I believe that you died on that cross and rose from the dead. I believe that you love me. I accept the gift of salvation. Come into my life. Be my Savior and Lord. I trust in you. I open my life to you." And so we prayed a little bit right then and there. Just like some of you could do right now that don't know Jesus. My grandmother was about 80 years old, and it was after that day that she had gotten sick, and we had a birthday party for her, and she told everybody at the birthday party this was her last year. She wasn't going to live any longer. She even said that God gave her a dream and showed her that she would soon be in heaven. I went to her apartment a few weeks later. She had begun to take pieces of tape, masking tape, and she would tape everything, the bread box, knickknacks, a radio, even the canned food. She would put a piece of tape and write down who it's supposed to go to. She did this to every little item and everything in the entire little senior citizen's apartment. I got the call. Grandma went into the hospital. It was a year, almost to the week, that she told everybody that this was her last year, that she was going to heaven. I stood there after three times of that emergency team bringing her back, and she's 80 some years old now, and she's going through a lot of physical fatigue, but she's talking to me and looking at me and said she's going to go soon. And she put her hand up on my face and patted my face and told me to wear my coat and to keep warm, that she would see me later. And she then at that moment left her body. A number of days later, of course, we had the funeral, and I stood there behind a little pulpit at the funeral home to share with all these dozens and dozens and dozens of people that knew my grandmother and family members. I got to tell them about the day I led my grandmother to Christ and the day she accepted him in prayer by faith, and the Spirit of God was a witness within her, and she knew that she knew. I was there the moment she left. And the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. It's an instantaneous thing. You leave your body in the end. Biblical death is final death. Unless the sovereign God, like in the case of Lazarus, would say, Lazarus, come forth. You see, only Jesus Christ, not Quetzalcoatl, not Muhammad, not Buddha, no one else in all of history, the infinite in human flesh, says very clearly, I am the resurrection and the life. If any man believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live. He demonstrated that in front of everybody. All the Pharisees, the fake religious people of the day, man, it blew them away. It blew them away. How does this man call the dead? How does he have power over death? Did you know that Jesus in human flesh, that all creation responded to him and obeyed him? Did you know that Jesus in human flesh, all of sin could be forgiven? There was not a disease that he couldn't heal, and not a sickness that he couldn't wipe out. There was not a lame man, a deaf man that he couldn't heal. There was not a demon or the devil himself that he couldn't defeat. We are talking about the living Christ who has demonstrated authority over creation, sickness, sin, everything. And in the case of Lazarus, even death. You ever hear about the book called The Death of Death in the Death of Christ? You ever hear Oz Guinness in his book Dust of Death declare that the resurrection of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, by the energy of God, by the power of God, exerted on an atomic level. I'll talk about that Friday, by the way, folks. On an atomic level, the power of God demonstrated on an atomic level. Friday night, 6 p.m. Oz Guinness said that the resurrection of Christ, by that resurrection, blasted apart the finality of death. My grandmother that day left her physical body, my friends. All the energy was gone. Her spirit left. Her spirit, though, was animated, indwelt, made alive a year prior. That's what happens when Christ comes in. We are born again by the Spirit of God. Not the finite spirits, not the fake spirituality, not the counterfeits, not all the mumbo jumbo. We're now talking about God. We're talking about life and death and eternity. You see, in the beginning, we were made to live forever. We were never made for death. I don't know about you, but the Word of God teaches that death is an introject, an invasion, an abnormality. The wages of sin is death. There is one who held the psychological fear of death. You could read about it in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. There is one that came to destroy, the one that held humanity in the fear of death. Jesus destroyed his power and destroyed the sting of death and have brought the gift of eternal life. All the reincarnationists can do is hope for a return, a coming back, never knowing who they are, never knowing where they... I mean, they were a prince, they were a king, they were Cleopatra, they were somebody else a thousand times over. When did reincarnation begin? When did it begin? Did it begin in the beginning of history? Did it begin in the beginning of where? Of when? Well, that's some of the things we've got to talk about. That's some of the things we've got to deal with. And we'll do a series on reincarnation coming up soon. But let me tell you right now that as we go into this session tonight, let me give you just a few moments to take a breath, to listen. If you're brand new, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. And we're here to, and I'll say to the psychics and to the remote viewers and to the New Agers and the spiritual questers and to all those who recon the show that, see, underneath the carpet of human society, there are those who really do believe in a different agenda. There are those who really are plotting and planning for a globalism and a coming suprahuman leader. There are those that oppose God in all that they are and believe that they're going to become gods. And they're operating, and they're working, and laboring. Time is at hand. Most people understand that. You can feel it in the air. You can see it in the politics. You can see it in the military structures, the economic dismantling. You can see it in the discussions, the hundreds of thousands of conspiracy and end time websites. Even the project by Clyde and George Webbot that talks about the billions of bits of information that the web spiders they had collecting the information tells us one thing: catastrophe, chaos, crazy stuff all coming down the pike. And I wonder who is really ready for it. The other side of the story is, are you, as a human being, listen, I'm just a human being, just a man. Just a man that knows now, clearly, at this age in my life, the physical body's not going to last forever. Questions of why it does not, and where we go, has everything to do with the energies or the powers that be. Has everything to do with the massive supernatural upsurge that has been going on for the last 30, 40 years. It has everything to do with the sense of chaotic and toxic developments in human society. It really does. We're going to dig in tonight to some of the concepts of the energies that be. That's the topic this week. It deals with the psi powers or the energies that be that are operating. And it's interesting to me that once we got on this topic, it seems as though others have hit it really quickly. Teleportation, bilocation. But not just that. What about walking on the water? What about walking through walls? What about the power to send out and destroy another person's mind or explode their heart? What if we could do all these things? What if the Russians got a hold of the powers and the powers enabled them to do teleportation and they trained all of their soldiers in a war where they just simply teleport over here, unleash their weapons, and then teleport back? How would you do that if you've weaponized teleportation? If you've weaponized psi powers that you can extend to explode? Now, why would you have to be 15 feet away? Can't you be 15,000 miles away? What we've seen in the development of supernatural or powers or energies over the last number of years that have been sought by military mill lab workers, scientists, and weapons developers Even DARPA, where they're trying out anything and everything that would give them a cutting edge. Transgenics, it all involves the transmutation, the enhancement of a regular human being. In a fallen world where there is difficulties, you could buy a little bottle of some stuff that's called 5-hour energy. You can see, and I watched on television the other day where they sell, because they're asking the question, why do 4 million people every single week or 7 million people every single week buy 5-hour energy? It enhances their physical stamina. Could you imagine if you were the founder of that company, if you were the one that developed that product, and you now have these little tiny bottles that cost about $3 or more, selling 7 million per week, individuals ingesting them and trying them out. Now, don't get mad at me, but I bought a bottle, not of the 5-hour energy, but there's a new one out, same size. It's called 6-hour energy. So I said, you know what? I'm going to try this thing out. I'm going to get me a little bottle of this. I'm going to see. I got that bottle, got home, drank half that bottle. I don't know. I didn't feel a thing. I didn't feel a thing. Now listen, I take echinacea. I take some other things. I try to stay healthy. You know what I do in the morning sometimes? I take raw oatmeal, mix it with some cranberries, and some soy powder and some, well, grapefruit juice or something like that, and blend it up and drink it all down. Feel really good. Taking a few of my vitamins and so forth. I like to stay healthy. I love to jog in the deep woods. So I try to stay healthy. But the 6-hour energy didn't do me any good. We're all seeking some level of enhancement. I mean, there are all kinds of things now that talk about the, you know, prolonging your life, enhancing your life. And listen, there's enough toxic things to destroy. I mean, eat enough greasy cheeseburgers in 1 week and you're going to feel like a slug at the end of that 7 days. So there is something about what you eat, you become, and it affects your body, your physical body. There's no question about that. But let me tell you also what spirit and energy you allow to tap into you, or that you engage or that you embrace, has everything to do with the outcome of your life. So what we've been trying to do for some time now is scream out, yes, because there is a passion, yes, because there is a compelling spirit behind what it is we have to say. There is an urgency. It's not about just selling you the ideas of, prolonging your life and energies that will help you and enhance your life and give you these things and simply go buy our product. This is beyond that kind of thing, my dear friends. This is about the nature of love, the nature of a creator who made us in the Imago Dei, the image of God, as brilliant and as beautiful and as majestic and as incredible as we were deathless, we were eternal, we were immortal in the beginning. Physical death wasn't to grip these bodies and turn us into liquid, rot us, and bring us to ash. Wasn't meant that way. We're living in a fallen world that is abnormal. If you don't understand the world as being abnormal, you're going to have a lot of soul sorrow. You're going to have a lot of depression of why the world is the way that it is. Why crazy, well, sin-filled or demonized individuals could steal another human being, a five-year-old little girl, and rape her until you kill her and then throw her out into the woods, or another little girl that was stolen, raped, and dumped in a trash heap. You look at humanity, we have the ability to bring about the most horrific and most incredible Holocaust, tragedy, evil. Humans can get another human being and torture them, and rape them, and use them, and enslave them, and harm them, and curse them, and do everything. And I'm going to tell you right now, we were not made for any of this. We were not made for any of this. It all began when a different energy, a different presence. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you'll restudy and go back to Genesis, the simplicity of Genesis. Oh, not back to Stitchin and the Anunnaki. Not back to incredible other stories that don't fit. Well, human life and existence. You go back to Genesis chapter 3, you're going to see something incredible. That a war was coming towards humanity, and God gave us a shield that would have guarded us from disease, from rape, from war, from sin, from death, from the psychological fracture, from the societal destruction and collapse, from mental and emotional destruction, from spiritual and then physical death. God stepped in and handed humanity a word from God, who is spirit, a word charged with life, charged, as Jesus said, these words are spirit and they are life. The word of God was given. Basically, whatever you do, don't touch the tree. Don't. God designed where the battle would be. God sovereignly knew what was coming and chose where it would happen and gave us the shield that would have preserved humanity. What a world that would have been. Kicking back and thinking of the contingencies that if in the beginning humanity would have said no, God did say that if we did eat, we would surely die. Anybody reading the Hebrew knows that it says, in dying you shall die. There would be a death that would strike. The Spirit of God would leave. Our spirits would go dead to God. We would have a psychological, a mental, emotional, everything would have been changed. And the sin code would have entered in human genetics. And the death code would have entered into human genetics. From that moment in history, it would be passed along. Well, the sad fact is that's exactly what occurred, and that's why your physical body not only has the effects of your sin and the sins of others around you, but death gnaws at the door of your years. It's abnormal. It entered in. Just like God said, Satan has everything to do with the concept of death. You can read in Romans that the wages of sin is death. That's how it entered in. Take a look at Romans 5. For by one man sin, death entered the world and passed upon all. Why? Because all. Doesn't make any difference what nation you're from. You're a human being. You're included. You know that you have done wrong. Call it wrong. The Greek word harmatia, missing the mark, falling from the glory of God. There is clearly something wrong in the structure, the construct of the human life. We're aging. Literally, we are dying. Aging does one thing with the physical body. It leads to an ultimate end. As a pastor 30 years in churches, I've done a lot of funerals. Stood next to caskets where hardened bodies lie, where family members and others weep and cry and sit in stoned silence. Some looking for a word of comfort, everybody wanting to come and say, he was a good man. She was a good man. looking at those bodies again and again and again, or at the teenager who hung himself, or the child that was killed. It's all the same. The body hardened, cold, dead, and the life, the human being, the person, gone. No question about it in Ecclesiastes, a great explanation in chapter 5. When death comes, the spirit leaves and goes back before God who gave it. And yes, there is a judgment. I mean, it's as simple as if you don't want God now, you reject God and spit on Christ now, you don't get him on the other side. It's all over. If in your heart you willed against God and you didn't want anything to do and you threw what happened at the cross to the side, I don't care how many spirits you've brought into your life. I don't care how many energies you've brought in. I don't care if you've teleported, bilocated, walked on water. I don't care if you remote viewed the past, the future, and 5 other parallel worlds. One thing I've known in all these years of people that are involved on those levels of counterfeit powers given by cloaked beings who emanate an energy that does have an effect. All I know is this. I have never met one who claims to know God. I have never met one who by those fallen, dark, cloaked beings that emanate an energy and thought and enhancements. Not one of those beings have been able to give a person assurance of God, assurance of afterlife, assurance of eternal, indestructible immortality. So will you listen to me for a moment? May I ask you, do you really care about your eternal life? Have you gripped what will really occur? And let's ask the question. Let's ask the question why, in looking at Jesus Christ, who he was, what he did, what he said, how could that have ever harmed anybody? Why did they nail him to the cross? Why did they beat him and rip and shred his skin? Why did they mock him and spit on him and put a crown of thorns? Why did the sun or everything go black and dark at the moment of his death and the temple curtains rip? And dead Old Testament saints, after the earthquake, come out of their tombs. What power is this? What manner of man is this? He's not a psychic of the fake projections of the psychic world. He's not a little teacher, ascended master of the New Agers. He's not an alien that of a master race that ufologists claim. On a physical level, my friends, he's never been to India. He did not learn from finite fallen gurus who did not even know how to get to God themselves. Why can't you just understand that the infinite, eternal, immeasurable, personal, creator God really did, with all his ability, come into humanity and visit us? Monogenesis. All the only begotten, but the only one of a kind. If you want to trust in Quetzalcoatl, I feel bad for you. If you want to really look into what Muhammad said, look into who he was and study him historically and see if you really want to embrace that. Being somebody that sought Buddha for 4 years and learned from a master in a temple, Buddha was a nice guy. But he wasn't God. He didn't die on the cross. He was a seeker. And he didn't know how to lead anybody to immediate, eternal, and personal relationship with God. So on the night before Thanksgiving, when everybody's traveling and moving around, and maybe thousands of you will simply listen to this in the archives later, just before the day that millions of Americans will eat massive amounts of turkey and the tryptophan will give them a little nap, gathering around families, half of which are broken tensions there, but yet love. The great theologian philosopher Francis Schaeffer once coined a term, the mannishness of man. The mannishness of man. The concept, the innate desire of humanity, of every human being wanting significance, wanting love, wanting relationship. But finding out that we don't always have it. So tomorrow, when I go to a Thanksgiving gathering on my wife's side, I buried my father a number of years ago. After 70 years of arrogant mocking God and spitting on the concept that God loved him, 4 months before his death, with his lungs being eaten up by asbestos poisoning, I flew to California to once again share a message that comes from heaven. This time, after hours, my father looked up at me and said yes. And I led my father in that prayer to receive the living Christ. I noticed a countenance change immediately. I'd prayed for that for 23 years. I was the one that stood at the funeral side where his, well, in his will, they had it all designed to cremate him, and I was to pick him up at the building, and I opened up the door of the building and walked in, said that I'm here for Carl Dizdar. They pointed to a little handbag with a box, and they said, there he is. I picked up the handles of the handbag and walked out the door, and as I head towards the car, I had a conflict. Do I put him in the trunk? Do I put him in the seat next to me? Where do I put him? This is my dad. All this is what remains of my dad. You see, about 4 days prior, when I talked to him on the phone in the afternoon, he was dwindling away. 6 a.m. in the morning here in Ohio, I had a sense of a vision and a sense of my dad dying, so I prayed for him strongly that God would be there and help him. He did not have a lot of time to grow strong in the Lord. A number of hours later, the hospital from California called and said that my father had expired. Well, I knew that. Flying out to California, eventually picking my dad up in that handbag where he was in a box that sounded like leftover dirt and rocks, bone and ash. We got to Riverside Cemetery, the military cemetery out there in California, very beautiful place, stood by this one area where I spoke to my family. Carrying my dad up to that place, I thought to myself, his face doesn't even exist in human society any longer. There is no physical body in a casket, just bits of bone and ash. My daddy's dead. Is your daddy dead? Is your mother dead? Is a child dead? Will you ever see them again? Can I tell you what Jesus did? In his offer as the sin bearer of the world, in the expressed will of God that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance, that all would be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, in the provision of Christ there at the cross for the sum total of humanity. Where do you find that teaching anywhere in all of history, in all of religious books, that he and what he did was for the sum total of billions of lives? And at this point in history, it may be that a few billion have heard and received in every place, whether Russia or China or in Timbuktu. Wherever that life-giving message is heard, faith can be given, empowerment could occur, and whosoever calls on the name of the living Christ, he comes in. It is the gift of life, forgiveness, new life, empowerment. It is the infinite presence of God coming in and planting inside Omnion Zoe, eternal life. Do you have that? With that inside of you and the Spirit of God pulsating in living presence in your spirit, soul, and body now, there is a joy unspeakable, there is a life incredible, there is a knowledge of instantaneous relationship with God, there is a walk, a provision, every single verse of the Word of God is now yours. Every promise, every instruction, every truth is now something that can embed in your spirit, in your soul, in your mind, in your heart, and become supernaturally operative. Oh, there's a presence and there's a power. Listen, Luciferians and Satanists, New Agers and others that have all kinds of other experiences. I agree, you have all kinds of other experiences. Soldiers, mill lab workers, and those in the Psy projects and hidden projects everywhere. Those that do the recon, and you're in the military cave, and you're in the... wherever you are. Let me tell you something clearly. You may have the energies that emanate off entities that are finite, fallen, cloaked. They may have given you enhancements, tantalizing you. You may say with excitement, this is real, this is real, this is real. And I respond back, yes, but it's not God, it's not God, it's not God. You see, if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, when the dear mother of the human race, you do know that DNA, that blood, that even linguistics, takes humanity all the way back to a original first pair. Some think it's strange that there would be an Adam, that there would be an Eve. I think it's logical, reasonable, and real. Everything goes back. Don't you have a mother and father? Don't they have a mother and father? Didn't they have a mother and father? Keep traveling back, and you will land in the Garden of Eden, where a man and a woman, once eternal, once emanating the Imago Dei, the image of God, once, but encountered by a presence, an entity cloaked, an entity so cloaked and so absolutely Well, he presented himself as one thing, but he wasn't that. This is the being that communicated as he communicates to millions of minds today. This is what he says, for God knows that when you eat, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The fallen cherub offered then what he offers now to millions of New Agers, Luciferians around the world, the promise of a spiritual evolutionary attainment of secret knowledge. An evolution to godlikeness, godhood, deity. Being on the level of God. The creature that wants to be God, the finite being that wanted to become the infinite, in all these thousands of years, has not himself evolved, become, transmuted, translated, whatever you want to call it. That finite being has never become infinite. And what he has promised to be like God has never been experienced. I will say what I've said 1,000 times now. The finite cannot become infinite. I don't care if you use calculus or some other means of trying to think that somehow a finite, a circle. This is to my dear friend that has written. A dear friend that has taken the time to written in talked about, hey, the finite can become the infinite because like a circle, you know, it goes around and around and around and around and around infinitely. Does it? Does it go around? Does it move? And if a circle goes around and around and around and around, what about outside the circle or inside the circle where it does not take up space? Do you understand the infinite nature of God? No beginning, no end. You cannot measure. Immeasurability. The attribute of God of incomprehensibility. You can't comprehend. Ultimately, you have to be the infinite God to become. I don't see in all of biblical revelation how anything finite would have within itself, or collective finiteness, evolving. We're not talking about calculus and numbers. We're talking about nature, reality. Can anything, anyone, since God is personal, since God is a being, a personal, rational being, and since God is infinite, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, does any spiritual being claim that? Is there any human being that can claim that? In all of Hinduism, Buddhism, in all of the Gnostics, among the Gnostics and the New Agers of today, among those who are deeply into the aliens, wherever you find the promise that the finite can become God, deity, one thing you're going to notice, my friend, is that there is no place, nowhere, at no time, in thousands and thousands of years, that it has occurred. It hasn't occurred. So to my dear friend that wrote, and the only one over all these years that has ever written and said that it's possible for the finite to become infinite using calculus. And the response is calculus, numbers, and possibilities are one thing. Actual reality, nature, well, even I would say the revealed, infallible words of God demonstrate clearly that finite beings, be they cherubim, seraphs, living creatures, archangels, or mankind, all limited beings created in time and space, limited in capacities. Maybe that's why there is such... Maybe that's why the dark side, acting as angels of light, have had such an inroad into fallen humanity, because we know that something is wrong. We know that we're missing something. We know that there are deep and vast limitations, including death. Death and physical bodies rotting and being buried. It was only the Infinite One in human flesh that said, no one else in history has, I am the resurrection and the life. If any man believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Live. This is the one that then demonstrated that, dying on the cross, not for himself, but listen, listener, for you, wherever you're at, for you. Reject him if you will, but let me ask you the question, what is it that you have when God summons you, when God taps on the conscience, on the inner walls of your being, and in love simply wants to bring you home, rescue you and bring you out of the dirt and the shame and the filth and the danger and the sin and the death and the hell that we open the door to. Can I ask you tonight, what's wrong with that? That God, the Infinite One, would want. Now you can take the offers of the finite beings, of the finite entities that emanate energies that bring, through their incredible deception and seduction. Don't forget, this is where the source of power that led one third of the angelic host away. This is the source that brought down the human race. There in the garden. You ever read Genesis 3, verse 6? When the woman saw... She saw that the fruit of the tree was good. It's because there was an entity that emanated energy that was telling her that. He was slamming God, maligning God, slandering God, doing all that he could to pull her away from God. For him, in his discussion, he was declaring God is a liar, God is cheating you, God is stealing from you. Come my way and I will elevate you. I will give you the elite secret knowledge. I will lead you to being like God. Accept the word of another. Accept the communication of another. And with that presence and with that lying communication, the word of God says that what the enemy was offering seemed pleasing to her eye and desirable for gaining wisdom. So she crossed over. She crossed over. Some of you, from the energies and experiences of remote viewing, astral projecting, engaging the entities, maybe even some of you that have been in the Project Sophia, University of Arizona, in contacting entities. Maybe it's Dan Sherman that worked for the NSA. In his book, Project Preserve Destiny, talked how he was connected to a machine and received communication. The same way that I received it in the temple. Become passive. No critical response, no discernment. Don't test the spirits. Just open wide, and when you feel something, when energy comes, when presence comes, when they come, receive whatever it is they bring. Oh, yes, it's real. See, I've been there and done that. I felt the breath of the fallen cherub telling you the truth before God. The enhancements, I sought them. The energies, I sought them. And just about a critical time in my life of seeking all of that, I knew clearly I did not know God. Of all the knowledge and experiences that I have had, nothing led me to an answer, but brought about more questions. If I would have died, I confess I would have been separated from God forever. I knew what I was. I have no problem. Maybe you have a problem. I have no problem saying, man, I sinned. I was a sinner. I did wrong. And when I finally heard from somebody that had the guts to tell me that Jesus Christ loved me, that he died on the cross for me, that I was the sinner, I was the one lost, I was the one that did wrong, but he came with love, that he came with power, that he came with grace, and that by accepting him, I could have all that he promised. The night that I heard that, I felt a different energy, clean and clear and powerful, beyond anything that I had ever experienced. That was the night that I said yes, actively, not passively. Actively, I said yes to Jesus Christ and received him into my life 36 years ago. Never left. Takes me deeper. I know God. I know Christ. He's alive, my friends. Alive from the dead. Alive. He is the answer. I'm thankful for that tonight. A lot of things to be thankful for. The energies offered in the garden, or the energies that seemed to emanate off of that fallen cherub that caused the woman to have the emotional response of pleasing and desirability. I'm telling those military leaders and workers and politicians, I'm telling New Agers, I'm telling the psychics, I understand and I agree and I acknowledge that you can believe that you've entered the light and you've entered being a light worker and that you've entered being engaged with the powers, but I'm asking you, are they of God? Do you know the power of God, the Holy Spirit? Have the energies maybe they've given you? I'm talking to a remote viewer right now. An older remote viewer, I'm talking to you. Listen, by the Spirit of God and by a word of knowledge, I'm talking to you. An older remote viewer, all of your experiences, you need to exchange everything for the glories of Christ and the love of God. In an instant, drop the filthy rags of self-righteousness. Drop to your knees and end the never-ending quest and receive the infinite God in your heart. Call on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let his presence and power, oh, there are enhancements, yes, but all of it leads you to the depths of the love and of the joy of God. Remote viewers and one old remote viewer. You can contact me. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. You can write to me during the show or afterwards. I'm trying to catch up with a lot of the emails, hundreds and hundreds of them. But during the show is a good time. The Spirit of God gives me a picture of an old remote viewer contemplating the end of life, contemplating the end of years. And you know that you don't have inside of you an irrevocable presence gift of eternal life dwelling within, so that at the moment of death, an instantaneous transfer straight to the face of God. As a human being, I would beg you, don't die without Christ. I have seen the difference as a pastor. People dying without any hope, screaming, fearful, bitter, angry, depressed. On this day, I'm thankful that God loved humanity so much that He gave the monogenesis, the one and only, the only begotten Son of God, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. You ever read verse 17 in John's Gospel, chapter 3? For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus Christ's approach to you is not to condemn you. There's one goal right now. It's to save you. My warning to you is that the dark side, masquerading as light, would seek to draw you out on a journey. A never-ending journey, a never-ending quest, a never-ending experience after experience after experience, but no final answer. The thirst of your human spirit cannot be quenched by finite, fallen, play-like angels, demons. Only God can give you that, my friend. I invite you to come to the living Christ right now. He'll come into your life. My friends, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. I'll see you Friday night. I love you in Christ.